Charles Erland with More Today Than Yesterday, the composer, organist, and saxophonist. This is from his 1969 album for Prestige Records, and that album is titled Black Talk. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we pick up from where we left off with each other just last week. Well, from the looks of things, Derek Chauvin, the police officer, the former police officer, on trial for killing George Floyd last year, was demanding two things. One, he wanted a delay in his trial. He obviously didn't get that. And he wanted a change of venue. Also, it appears he didn't get that because the trial is occurring in the same court that it started in. I wanted to ask you a question about this trial. So he doesn't get the trial moved to another court, some other place, and he doesn't get a delay in the trial. The trial proceeds, and none of the jurors have been replaced. Everybody who was there is still there, and they seem to be continuing, even though technically, things are in play because there has to be some kind of response to his petition to have the case moved and to have a delay in the trial. Neither of those things has happened. But we do know that something has happened, and that is the fact that we had an announcement by none other than the city council of Minneapolis that there has been a settlement agreed upon between the family of George Floyd and the city, that settlement amounting to $27 million. That was one heck of a bombshell. It's the highest settlement so far in the history of Minneapolis and perhaps in many other parts of the United States. And the question I'm asking you is, really, does Chauvin's point matter here? Does he have a point about this announcement being so unsettling to the case that it may just throw the whole case? Does he have any basis? Does he have any legal basis for claiming that that $27 million settlement would have changed not just the atmosphere of the case, but other dimensions of the case as well that might prejudice him now as he seeks to avoid conviction? What do you think about that? Did the city council, in announcing this settlement, this $27 billion settlement, did it, whether consciously or unconsciously, did it or will it or could it in some way negatively affect Chauvin's chance of a fair trial? 888-874-4888. It's the first of several questions I'm asking today about cases that we have talked about. But this is a very interesting development, And it is interesting that I'm asking the question this way, because, of course, you know, people would say, well, you have a bias to begin with. You have no love for Chauvin. That would be correct. I have no love for the man. But the point I'm making is, does he have a good standing by claiming that this public announcement by the members of the city council about the settlement that they have arrived at with the George Floyd family, does it in some way or the other affect him, Chauvin, and his case? What say you? What say you? You have to struggle through this one, I'm afraid, because I know most people say, we don't care. We don't care about that. If, in fact, it does affect the case, we don't care. But, of course, we're looking at this analytically, and we're trying to find out whether we are, you know, whether we have towed the line here or something has gone over the line, and now Chauvin can make a legitimate case that his chances in a court of law, his defense chances, have been ruined or hopelessly affected by the announcement of this massive settlement. And of course, I'd ask you why you think what you're thinking. I want to know whether you're going to go beyond just a one-sentence answer and give us a comprehensive enough answer. Because it's going to be a factor, one way or the other, it's going to be a factor in this case. So 888-874-4888, what say you? Did, by making that announcement, did the city council throw a monkey wrench into the works and leave open the possibility of Chauvin picking up on it and making it into a legitimate legal argument that the announcement of itself has affected his ability to get a fair trial? Do you agree with that or you disagree? Let's see. 888-874-4888. You know, it's amazing how often I have to repeat that number at the start of every program. It's like you never heard it before. I know what's going on. You don't want to be first. You don't want to be the first one out. Because you say, I don't know. Let me hear what other people are saying first, and then I'll chime in. But come on, you're brave. You can either be right or not right. Those are the two choices. Allison from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, what you, Therese. It's good to hear your voice. You're sounding really good, and maybe it's that spring onset energy that I'm hearing, but I'm glad to hear your voice. I think this could be looked at in two different ways and have at least a couple of different impacts. And one could be a school of thought that says, well, the family's been compensated and in a way justice has been done, so maybe we can be cut a little slack. And then the other way could be construed that, wow, if the city council feels that large of a settlement is called for, this is a really dastardly deed. So those two viewpoints, that might be a conclusion. But the bottom line to me is that a bad thing has been done. A horrible thing has been perpetrated. It, without a doubt, a crime has been committed, and it has to be dealt with, regardless of any settlement, because you can't buy a human life. It's priceless.
What? I mean, you're right on point. You're absolutely correct. The two things that you just pointed out will be the things that everybody is going to be talking about when the time comes, about whether this announcement short circuits a just, a free and fair trial for Chauvin. And he's entitled to a free and fair trial, is he not?
Yes, I have to admit he is.
You grudgingly have to admit he is. Okay.
Absolutely, would be grudgingly, yes. And I'm going to hang up and listen now.
But you see how things can affect. Now, the city council members, I don't know how they came to the conclusion that making that announcement was a good thing to do. I have no idea what made them think that. But you nailed it. You just nailed it. These are the concerns. But beyond these concerns that you pointed out, the other question isn't Derek Chauvin entitled to a free and fair trial? Did the city council's announcement, did it not prejudice the atmosphere against him? That's the question. That's what we're trying to get to today. But thank you. You started us off in fine form. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Yatrice. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, I agree with the last caller. I'm sure we all have come up with the same thought process here on this. If you're willing to already give us a record-breaking settlement, then it's like you're already admitting guilt. So if he has a smart lawyers, they can say, how can he possibly get a fair trial now since they've already admitted guilt by giving this big settlement? And I think they should have turned down the settlement and asked for a much grander figure, $100 million. I mean, Beyonce.
$100 million? I mean, that's a little bit kind of out of bounds, don't you think?
Not at all. Not at all. The number should be that high when it comes to a person's life being snuffed out the way it was done.
Fine. And, I get that. But let's be realistic. Which jury is going to award $100 million in the circumstances we're talking about?
Right.
How likely is that?
I'm not saying that that's what they would get. But if you start out high like that, then maybe end up with 50. So that's still twice as much as they got. And another thing.
No, that's how it works in the court. You ask for what you think is right. And even so, there will be negotiations. But $100 million sounds a little bit much.
Yeah, but that happens every day in all these accident cases. The lawyers ask for
giant. These are accident cases. Yes,
right.
But this is not an accident case, because in an accident case, the person is still alive. Most of the time, in the context that you're talking about, and so they could bargain. George Floyd is dead. There's no further work he is going to be able to do. He will not be able to earn an additional amount of money as a living. So that's a very high picture, I think.
All right.
Very,
well,
very
high. Well, I also had this other thought that they could have had some kind of a benefit to support the George Floyd family so they wouldn't have to accept the settlement, and they could just like put that on hold until the trial. And, you know, Beyonce and a bunch of other performers could do a benefit, and they could have probably got $25 million for the family without them having to accept a settlement, because that's showing that you're willing to say you're satisfied, you accept the settlement. It's like taking welfare. It's like what Martin Luther King said in the 1960s.
I don't know how you could see it that way. It is just another legal maneuver. In a court, people routinely are compensated for wrongs done to them, whether they are alive or dead. But so this falls well within the guidelines of a court negotiation. But we're not talking about that. We're discussing whether the announcement itself has prejudiced the case and given opened the door for the ex-cop Chauvin to make the point that the case was muddied against him, and it is possible he will not get a fair trial, even though he's proceeding with trial. Right. But thanks for calling and adding your voice to the voices today.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering, the answer that I provided, did I establish a point there that by them accepting a settlement and giving out a settlement, sort of saying there's guilt there, so then the lawyers could say that he is not able to get a fair trial now because of this fact. That would be a long stretch, but it gives them some kind of a defense that I wish they didn't have to have.
It's really not as long a stretch as you might think. It is very much a pertinent question now that the announcement has been made, and therefore Chauvin can argue and can make a very credible argument that now that it's his turn at trial, the water has been muddied against him. The announcement that the family has accepted this amount of money, and the announcement by the city council representing a unanimous decision, in a way reflects the thinking of the members of the city council as to Chauvin's innocence or guilt. So that's a legitimate point to raise. Thank you. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. How are you doing?
Okay. How's by you?
Well, hanging in like everybody else.
That's
okay,
good.
Telling with my thumb here. Hanging in by my thumb. Yeah. This is what I have to say to you. As one of your students, you're going to have to explain to your pupils what is a fair trial. Okay, professor, you do have to explain that to us. No, because
is the atmosphere that's contained, that you remove from consideration anything that is likely to prejudice a person's thinking in the course of a trial. Now, when the city council, this is the point I'm trying to make, when the city council, before Chauvin comes to trial, took it upon itself to announce, and it was a huge announcement, that the city council and the family mutually agreed to this settlement. In a way, you could argue that the city council made a judgment call as to Chauvin's innocence or guilt. And that's not supposed to happen. If it is supposed to be shown, then it should be shown in the context of the trial. But when the city council did this in a peremptory way, before the trial even gets underway, it is showing that it has made a judgment. And the judgment it has made is Chauvin is guilty.
Okay. This is what I'm going to say to you. We have
okay,
videos.
Let me bend my jaw here for a minute. Go ahead.
We have videos from different angles that they check the conscience of the world. Not yes. of the United States, not of Minneapolis, check the conscience of the world. And they use two words together in law. And that's what those videos have done, especially the one that we see for one angle. So are you going to tell me right now that because they got paid, he's not guilty of putting his needs on his merits? But I know they have to be proven. Yeah, it has to be proven in a court of law. But I would tell you this. Amadou Diallo, the people that killed Amadou, the venue was taken away from New York City because of prejudice. Yes. Freddie Gray all those cops that went into court and they were found not guilty. And we could go on and on and on. Are you going to tell me that the only
you can't twist it. You can't twist it that way. You either have a fair trial or you don't.
But I guess the cops, they always have a fair trial. We
but
could have videos.
You can't take that. If you take that very attitude, let's say, you may feel this personally, and you may have reason to say so. You may even be right. But the law calls for a trial. The person has to go on trial. And until a jury weighs the evidence and makes a decision, we should be hands off until that happens. The jury makes a decision.
And I do understand that. Three men in New York City in Queens Court, they were in jail for 24 years. And last week, and you know what? They just vacated the guilty feeling that it was given to them because they weren't
non-guilty. Here's what you're doing. You're cherry picking the cases that prove your point. But the circumstances of these cases that you're talking about are very much different from this particular case that we're talking about here now. And we can't mix the two. They're different circumstances. You have different levels of evidence. You have the different watermarks for, you know, what will constitute the truth of everything. That has to be established. And it's different in every case. So the city council preempted that. They just swept away any need for even a trial, if you really want to look at it. They have, by the public decision and public announcement, they have indicated a level of prejudice that should not be in this case, certainly not at this time.
No, I don't think you said any. I just don't see it being prejudiced because a lot of these families have gotten paid, and every city they have not taken responsibility of guilt.
But you can't. But this is a separate trial, and every trial has to be judged on its own merits. You can't just, you know, cover the whole land and what happened all throughout the United States with this trial. This trial is a unique situation. The evidence is unique. Everything about it is unique. And so the trial should be given that level of respect. Let the trial go on. Let the evidence be produced. Let a jury, that's the law. The city council is not a jury. Let the jury decide. That's what they're there for. And then we go from there. But we can't have a city council intimating and blatantly suggesting in a way that we have decided to enter into a settlement agreement. Well, obviously you're going to enter a settlement agreement because you happen to believe the cop is guilty. That is fundamentally antithetical to what the basis of a trial is about. And they should not have said anything. They should have withheld their judgment until the trial is held and a jury, a duly constituted jury, has heard the evidence, has weighed the evidence, and comes to a conclusion, whatever the conclusion is. But the city council, it seems to me, was out of line. And they should not have said anything publicly about the settlement. It was way too soon, even before the trial started. I mean, come on. And for purposes of fairness, they should have wanted to be absolutely circumspect. They should have wanted not to commit any errors at all. Let the case go forward in a court of law. You impanel the jury and you go to trial. But they didn't do that. And so they now provided the cop, the ex-cop, Chauvin, with a rationale to make a decision about whether he should appeal to the court and whether they gave him ammunition to make the appeal that however this case turns out, it would be in his arsenal that the city council, none other than the city council, prejudiced public opinion and the jurors against him.
Therefore, this is the last thing that I'm going to say. Then we should not also blame the city council. We should blame the family and the lawyer, because the lawyer, they should have known that. They should have never accepted that.
They probably didn't know. That's my feeling. They probably didn't know that this announcement was going to be made and made so publicly. They might have reached a point where they understood that there was going to be some kind of an agreement, but I don't think they were prepared that the decision or that working out that plan was going to be announced publicly. I don't think any lawyer would permit that or would be happy about that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Thank you. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon.
I sincerely hope your health continues to improve.
Me too.
I would like to say, on the part of that jury, I think they were thinking critically in that in the event that this young man wasn't found guilty, they're looking at the image of that particular city where that occurred. They're looking at America's self-image on the world stage, and they're also looking at the family, just in the event that this young man is found innocent. And I say,
that's not their job. That's not their job, and they have, frankly, they have no authority to do that.
I know that's not their
job. As a juror, you have only one job. Sit in the trial, listen to the evidence. When the time comes for deliberations, you deliberate and you cast your vote accordingly.
Okay. And you're
They're
exactly
not supposed
right
to
that.
Take on any other responsibilities than that.
Okay. Eutrice, you are exactly correct on that. But America doesn't think and act like that. The rest of the world saw what happened, and the rest of the world is watching. The rest of the world responded. People on all continents responded to with protests about what occurred. And they did that because the whole world saw what happened. That award.
Yes, but guess what? That should in no way affect how jurors or how this process works. It shouldn't in no way affect it.
You're correct on
there's
that.
No reason for the there's no reason really to announce that there's been an agreement about a settlement even before the trial begins.
That's correct. You're even true about that.
But if they wanted to, if they felt that they wanted to, or they were given license to do so, then it should mean that there shouldn't be a trial because they will be acting in effect as judge and jury. But the reason you have a trial is that you have a group of women and men listening to the case, weighing the evidence, and coming independently to a conclusion about whether the person sitting in the dock is innocent or guilty. This was very poor thinking, and it will create problems. It okay. has already yeah. created major problems, and it will continue to create problems.
Okay, you're correct in your way of your rationale, the way you see it and all, but they don't do things correctly here. They had many more
Well, they're gonna have to learn. It, because when you talk, first of all, you're talking $27 million. Who gave this city council the authority to negotiate that? Number two, on what basis you come to a conclusion like that when the trial is over, you have had the opportunity to listen and to see the evidence and to weigh the evidence. You don't just pop up out of nowhere and say, well, we've come to a decision, and our decision is to settle. And it is the highest settlement in the history of the country for this kind of a trial. You don't play this so casually at all. This is a very serious matter. And on top of that, the argument I'm making is it leaves open, wide open. It leaves the city council, it leaves the lawyers, it leaves everybody open to massive criticism. And they can't argue against it.
Okay. And Eutrice, that is the reason why part of the rationale of why they did what they did. They're thinking about the self-image of that city. They're thinking about America's image on the world stage. And they're thinking about his family. In the event this young man come up with a defense and saying, I restrained this man as I was trained to do. Suppose he come up with that defense, the man had...
The fact is, then the court can handle it. That's what a jury is for. That's what a trial is for. You can't have people deciding to assign themselves the task of juror, and then you decide, and then you decide how much of the city's money you're going to give. What is this? This is insanity. This is craziness. And believe me, I think George Floyd is overdue some very serious justice here. This is not it. This is not justice at all. They made a mockery of it. and they're going to regret it.
Right. Now, what you're saying is true and rational, but what is rational about America?
Oh, please, you go. I'm speaking about a specific thing. Now you're going to go to the esoteric and the philosophical, which neither of those things has anything to do with the case as it exists.
Okay, you treat.
Stay with what exists.
Okay, the rest of the world is watching. Do you think
so
that
what?
That city council, do you think they are not thinking of their self-image?
Look, this is a trial. It is not about self-image. It is not about a public relations effort. It's about a trial. It's about seeking justice. That's as pure as you could get.
Okay,
you have
now,
a trial to determine the outcome. Was the what not just this one cop, but were the police officers' actions lawful?
No, they were not.
And yet, well, okay, you could say that, but then we will see at a trial. You don't know. You weren't there. There might have been one or two who tried to stop it. There might have been one who didn't participate at all. We don't know these things until it comes up at trial.
You trace this was on video. The whole world saw that. Why do you think the world reacted the way they did?
I'm not interested in how the world reacted. And I cannot, as one person, tell you why the whole world reacted the way it reacted. It's not important.
Okay, let me say this. That is what those jurors are thinking. I'm not saying it's correct or right or rational.
But you don't know what the jurors are thinking. Are you in their minds?
You can tell by the behavior.
Have you presented any evidence to them?
Okay, let me say this, Utrice. Sometimes you can look at a behavior and you can tell what thinking is behind the behavior.
Not in a court of law. There's supposed to be no conjecturing and reading people's minds. There's evidence. And there's fact.
That's what is
important in the court of law during a trial. You cannot sit there wherever you are and project that you are reading the rest of the world correctly. And these are the things they want to know. No, this is simply a trial. No matter how you look at it, it's a single trial. And it has its own set of facts. It has its own presumptions. It has its own evidence that a duly constituted jury should weigh and then make a decision.
Okay. And Utrice, what you're saying is 100% correct. And what I'm saying is those people are not thinking correctly or behaving correctly. That's what I'm just saying.
I'm saying to you, stop thinking that you are thinking correctly. You were not there. You have no idea what the evidence will show. Why can't we just wait and see what the evidence shows?
Well, I saw on TV with the young man with his knee on the man's neck. Why do you think the rest of the world reacted that way?
You saw it on TV, but even so, what you saw on TV has to be presented as evidence. You can't go into a court on a murder case and talk about what you saw on TV. You need medical examiner's reports, you need scientific reports, and you need to be conclusive about how George Floyd died. You can't go in there guessing.
Okay, Utrice, I'm saying this. What you're saying is correct and accurate and according to the law.
You can tell me what I'm saying is correct, but right after that, you show me how incorrect I am.
No, you. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I'm just saying the people outside in the city council, I'm not thinking like that.
And they should. They have no business thinking the way they were thinking. You do not decide arbitrarily that you're going to make an announcement, especially given the tenor of our times, which are very delicate, that you could make this announcement and in the amount that you name, $27 million. What's wrong with these people? You do not agitate the public like that.
Okay. Let me
and a trial has not yet been held. What is the matter with you?
In the event that this young man is found not guilty, they would say, well, what are you crying about? You have received the money.
Here's the thing. We have to be grown up here now. It's not about in the event. It is the way it ought to go. Something really disturbing has happened. It has claimed the life of a person. There ought to be a trial. Proceed with the trial. And until you hear from the jury what the jury thinks, all we have to do is shut up. Let the jury decide. And let the process go the way it's supposed to go. Don't preempt a jury's decision by announcing that you have come up with a settlement. What is the matter with you?
The behavior.
I'm not saying what's the matter with you personally. I'm saying what's the matter with the city council?
Right. Okay.
They act like they don't have any logic. You're creating problems. So
they have to learn to
observe protocol and procedure. And what they did was completely out of whack. And it should not have been said even before the trial is over. You're talking about your settlement that you set aside $27 million. What is the matter with you people?
I'm looking at what is really motivating this behavior. That's what I'm looking at.
We don't know what is motivating anything. You want to know what's motivating behavior? Go to court, attend the court, listen to the evidence presented, and you'll be free to make up your mind. But until then, we should have nothing to say in terms of making a judgment about anything. We have no information that is absolutely necessary in order to come to some kind of sound judgment. And it's not our place to judge. It's our place to listen, to ask for evidence, and to weigh the evidence. And that's all we can do.
Okay, now what I was saying my perspective on what was behind their thinking, that's all. And let someone else make a comment.
We don't know. I'm trying to tell you. You will never know what's behind anybody's thinking. Even if they were to tell you it themselves.
Let me say this, Patrice. Behavior tells you what's behind thinking in some cases.
No, in some cases, but then you're talking in a way that is very sweeping. You're making generalizations. You will never know. You would be surprised that you will not know what you're thinking sometimes. Why are you thinking what you're thinking? We're human
just
beings.
Just logic, rationale.
So,
cause and effect.
What we have to do is to look at these developments and you see. You perhaps did not weigh the possibility that this thing they did, perhaps they were excited, perhaps they wanted to let people know that they have been working when we didn't see them working, whatever it is. But the fact is, it was wrong. It was wrong for them to do that. And it could possibly complicate the case in ways we do not yet know. All they had to do was shut up. Okay, so you worked out a settlement or a tentative settlement, then shut up about it. When the time comes, we will know. But as you can see, them making the announcement of it hasn't changed anything. It hasn't changed the objective facts on the ground about this case.
Well, I'll say this and I'll close, Eutrice. Let me just say one last thing. They are anticipating the results of the verdict. It's not correct, it's not logic, it's not rationale, but that's what they're doing.
They who?
Those people who granted that settlement.
No, you see, we'll have to devote an entire segment to this settlement. We have no idea whether it's even legal. We have no idea whether they did this legally. We do know that they have taken it upon themselves to decide $27 million taxpayer dollars should be part of a settlement. I don't know that that's legal. I don't know that they have the power and authority to do that. I don't know that they were openly asked to do that. This is going to require some very close scrutiny. I think they overstepped their bounds, and I think it's going to come back to haunt us all. Thank you for your call today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hey, Trish, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. This was supposed to be one of the little segments, and it's probably it's turned out to be more than a segment. Go ahead.
I don't know if somebody already said what I'm about to say, but in order to have a settlement, you have to have someone accept the settlement. And
yes.
So I understand Benjamin Crump is the attorney for the Floyd family, and that tells me that he's the one that accepted the settlement.
On behalf of the family, yes.
Yeah, the way I see it, the person that benefits the most out of this whole entire situation is none other than Benjamin Crump. A third of $27 million comes about $9 million for one individual and, you know, his staff that works for him. But the family now has to divide $18 million amongst God knows how many people, because we don't know those personal details. So what I think is, my belief is, the burden on proving that Derek Chauvin is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt is on Benjamin Crump, because by they getting this settlement, the city council has admitted guilt. By you know, agreeing to pay a penalty for misconduct. Unfortunately, the way you know, these governments are structured, it seems as if you can't sue the police department directly because I guess they're city employees. So it's the city council who basically represents them. But anyways, my point is, by them admitting guilt, there is no doubt that this man is guilty of what he did. And if Benjamin Crump can't prove that, that tells me that he cares more about this money than he does about justice.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I'm going to say go that far, Yutri.
What he cares
right
now,
we more have a local
about
case.
Or less about.
Yutri, we have a local case here. We have a local case here where
situation.
I live at. We
and here we are guessing at this and guessing at that, or the motivation for this and the motivation for that. None of this should happen. This should be very, very clear. And this should have occurred Well, of course, they preempted the trial itself, the city council, and decided, well, we have the power to allocate money in situations where we see fit. But I'm still saying this is highly irregular, and it should not have occurred.
Yeah, but as the lawyer representing the family, it's Benjamin Crump's responsibility to say, okay, we might agree to the settlement, but after the case is against the police officers is over. It's up to him to do that. I'm telling you,
that's
we
correct.
Have a case. We have a case here, local case. A young lady was in a young girl from in a high school was thrown to the ground by a sheriff. Okay, because in Florida school districts are so poorly funded that we don't have security officers in Florida like say in other states that have a bigger education budget where they have like a security staff for the students and the school. We have what they call resource officers. And each school is assigned now a resource officer, which is basically a regular policeman. And every school is assigned one now because after what was that school over there, Douglas, that guy, there was a school shooting, Stoneman Douglas?
Yes.
There was a school shooting. So now Florida, they were able to get some budget to assign a resource officer to every single school. So this girl got body slammed on camera. There was maybe a 4-second clip of someone getting slammed to the ground by the police officer, okay? And this clip went nationwide, all right? First person to show up over here, guess who? Benjamin Crump. And that school district, they just got a new sheriff, a minority. And for the first time, and I don't, you know, in ever, they finally got a minority as a police a sheriff, and he was going to implement all kinds of reforms. This incident happens. Benjamin Crump shows up. The whole police department, he drags the police department through the mud, okay? Nobody's out protesting. Nobody cares. You know why? Because what came out to find out is that the girl's a bully. She's been picking on the other kids. She's been picking up, looking for fights, and the police officer was basically trying to stop a fight. Okay,
you know,
and that's
what
happened.
Here's the thing.
And guess who shows
what
up? Benjamin Crump, looking for
yes,
money.
Yes, but you mixing in some very personal animus in the whole thing. I'm surprised at you, because you're very clinical and analytical.
I'm just pointing out that right away people go to judgment. The same way I'm just putting out what's been out there.
Crump, if the black community is very experienced at this phenomenon. It goes in cycles, apparently. Whoever the most prominent or successful person is litigating these kinds of cases, they'll show
He's
up
the
everywhere.
One who shows up. Exactly. I get that, Yutri, but my point is this.
They show
my
up at the opening of an envelope.
I get that. But my point is this, Yutri. Instead of coming to the community and implementing changes that benefit the community, instead of going for big money action and
whether they like it or not, I have to say, that's not their job. It's enough.
Well, then
just
their job is to get
portfolios that they have to do. I know so many black lawyers, Latino lawyers. Sometimes they can't even get into their offices because there's stuff everywhere.
Then you treat mission accomplished. Benjamin Crump got his $9 million. Point and simple. Mission accomplished.
He got
his money.
Yet.
Case closed. That's it. Whether
he hasn't
got to jail
yet.
Or not, he got his money.
Because, you know, I have been very critical of Benjamin Crump. And many so-called civil rights lawyers. And it was with the hope that they would, you know, up their game.
Exactly. And what you call them, a civil rights lawyer, civil rights, not ambulance chasing lawyers, civil rights. Civil rights got nothing to do
but
with
But it's not fair to call
money.
Them ambulance chasing because I'll tell you, you have to be in the middle of a situation where there's no hope, except these guys are available, and they're the ones doing the work.
I get that, Eutrice, and that's what we're looking at.
Oh, I hear music, which means we gotta go. I thank you all. We will follow this up.
And then there's a public interest.
We will follow this discussion up because it merits further discussion. And I tell you, we will follow up on this very much so. Thank you all for contributing today and for listening and for putting us on point. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.